This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. On the broadcast this week, I want to continue on with this message about this last day falling away, about the hordes of apostate teachers that will emerge in the world in these last days, and God showing us how that when they come, this subtle work of Satan to bring such an apostasy, cause such a falling away, bring the church into a state as described to us in the message of Jesus to the church at Laodicea, the church who boasted she'd be rich, have need of nothing, and not know that it was poor and miserable, wretched, naked, and blind. Well, today we want to go on. We've been in the book of Jude looking at what these apostate teachers will be like. And remember, I've been foretelling you what is coming, and this is coming. It's just right ahead of us, right out here in time. We're going to see this horde of teachers that Paul warned us about, a horde of teachers, and congregations having itchy ears, turning their ears away from the truth. Well, it says, woe unto them, for they've gone the way of Cain, ran greedily after the arrow of Balaam, for reward, and are perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Well, we certainly want to continue on. Now, we're looking into this gainsaying of Korah. We were on it all last week. And today, we want to take up and go on. But before we go on, let's really, you know, accept into our hearts this exhortation to pray and seek God. This terrible thing is ahead of us, and let's pray about it. Let's seek God. Let's ask God to guide us and direct us, lest we all be swept off into this modernistic lukewarmness, this apostasy that's going to emerge, and God warns us about this subtle work of Satan. Well, this treacherous thing. Now, let's pray. Let's get a hold of God about this matter. We should pray. It will make a difference. Ask for revival. God would want us to be revived, on fire, prepared for such an hour as this. Let's pray. Well, we're going back to Numbers chapter 16, and we find Moses has made a declaration here. Now, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, having really stirred up 250 of the princes of the congregation, and then turned around and stirred up and caused the whole congregation to turn against Moses and against Aaron, surely bringing such an uproar in the camp of Israel. Well, something's got to happen. Now, remember Moses. He fell on his face and prayed, and he certainly brought a rebuke here to Korah for thinking that what God gave him was a small thing, and for his desire to intrude into the priest's office, taking Aaron's place. Now, surely we look at all of that, and we know what his reasons was, but to sow such sedition into the camp and to cause something like this, well, I mean, he just wanted to lift himself right up. Well, today we go now and we find that Moses, having now seen this whole congregation gathered together against him, had really spoken out, and he said to this congregation now, hereby you're going to know, and he made them to know a sign that would surely prove by this sign who God had called to lead the congregation, who God had raised up. Now, this dispute surely then is really centered around the fact of who's going to lead Israel. Is Moses and Aaron, whom God called, going to lead this congregation? Or is Korah, Dathan, and Abiram now? Are they going to come along now and horn in and push Moses and Aaron out of office and take over? Well, this is what these apostate teachers will be working on. They're going to come against all rightful authority when they come. Surely they're going to horn their way in, and they're going to intrude into places where God didn't call them nor place them. Well, we realize that. Now, Moses said to the congregation, if these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. Oh, that spells judgment. We have to understand now that spells judgment. If these men die a common death, then surely God hasn't called me. You're going to know. Now, if nothing happens to them, you'll know everything is just fine. I just got up here by myself. I just pushed myself in here to do this. But he went on now. He said, but if the Lord make a new thing and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up and all that appertaineth unto them, and they go down quickly into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. Well, right there, I think, is the issue now. As far as Korah is concerned, we're talking here in our message in Jude about the last day apostate teachers perishing in the gainsaying of Korah. Now, remember, the words of the apostles was clear about judgment, that God would bring upon these men swift judgment, that they were ordained of old unto this condemnation, and this ungodly crowd of apostate teachers that will emerge in the earth here at the end of the age. They're like Korah right down the line, because they're going to come in, and when they come, they're going to turn the congregation of God around and turn them away from godly leaders and take over. And surely when we stop to think about that kind of gainsaying now, they're going to perish for their works. Well, here we see God now making an example. And God is saying through Moses now, really, and this is the way the Lord is expressing it, if these men die a common death, then you'll know down inside that God didn't call Moses. But if the ground opens up and swallows them up, then you will know right there by that sign. Now, I don't know how strong you believe in signs, but surely Moses did. And he looked for God to really show forth. You know, who can really tell whether somebody's called of God or not? Who can really tell whether that man is really in that office because God placed him there? Now, I want you to think about offices for a moment with me, and offices in the church, in the body of Christ. Now, God has set some. Now, and he expresses, and he gave us some apostles. He gave us some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Now, these are offices that God has set in the church. Now, there's no doubt the offices of God. And the office holder now is a person then that normally would be thought of as a man whom God has ordained, a man whom God has called for that job and placed him in that office. Well, now, God created the office of high priest, and he put Aaron in it. And God surely called Moses into this office of a prophet and a leader over the children of Israel, and put him into a very high office, and God called him into that very high place. So Moses is the man God chose for the office. Aaron is the man God chose for the office, and his seed, his direct seed, following on in the generations. Now, we have to realize then that God now has his purpose. Now today, right here, this day we're living in, God isn't any different. I mean, these offices that we have mentioned are here. My, churches need pastors and churches need teachers. Surely the church needs evangelists today who are anointed of God. And we need godly men, godly women in this last day who stand in the gap to make up a hedge for souls. And God has his God-given people in office. And brother and sister, when God sets them there, let me tell you a truth, don't mess with them. Let them alone. They're God's anointed. You may not understand them. You may not always understand everything they do. You may not understand all their ways. But God set them in office, and therefore we've got to conclude that we should be conscious of that, and we should always respect the office, whether we would even have a great respect for the officer, for the office's sake. in that it's a God-given office. You know, a church without a pastor, without a shepherd, without a leader, without a spiritual leader, a God-given person who's anointed of God. Well, a church without this, my, there's somebody just missing out of office. And, well, it can really bring a church to its knees. Can cause the sheep to be scattered abroad. And, well, we recognize how much we need these God-given offices. Now, in this last day, the apostate teachers, when they emerge, are going to set themselves up in a very high place, in a very high way, and surely we'll see them coming. And when they do, well, the pressure is going to be on those whom God set in office. The gainsaying of Korah. Now, they're going to gainsay against authority. They're going to intrude into these God-given offices. They're going to set themselves up as servants of God. They're going to take that authority when God didn't give it to them, when actually they'll be agents of the devil. They'll be anointed of hell, and they'll bring through their teaching damnable heresies that will cause a multitude to deny Jesus, to reject the Lord. Well, we realize that this is the way it'll be. And so we see now they're going to try to get in to God-given offices so they can affect the lives of God's children. Well, let's consider that today. Father, we pray that you'd pour out your Spirit. We pray that you'd bless us and anoint us and give us grace and understanding of this matter in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. And on the broadcast today, I want to continue on with this message about this end time falling away, foretold by the Apostle Paul. Surely God warning us of this great time at the end of the age when we would be hit with a host of false teachers, apostate teachers, denying the Lord, denying the blood of Jesus. Well, we best continue to look right into this matter. Today I want to continue on. We've been looking at Jude 11, talking about the way of Cain, the error of Balaam, and the gainsaying of Korah. Well, we're looking at Korah from Numbers chapter 16, and as we finished our broadcast yesterday, we were talking about the kind of judgment that Moses said would fall upon these because of their gainsaying. Now, remember, the Scripture said of these apostate teachers that they would perish in the gainsaying of Korah. So they're going to be like this man, Korah, who tried to take the priest office, who tried to put himself into office above Moses and Aaron and put them down. Well, we find that they succeeded now. He really succeeded. Dathan and Abiram, his friends, going along with him. Yes, 250 of the princes of Israel, men of renown, going along with him until finally, as it says in verse 19, Korah had gathered the whole congregation of Israel against Moses and Aaron. My, here the two godly leaders now have the entirety of the congregation against them. Oh, my, this don't look good, does it? Well, you know, God said to Moses he'd just take that congregation and remove them in a moment. But Moses interceded and cried out to God. And, well, God spared them from that judgment because Moses prayed. But the judgment now that was brought forth because of this, my, was far-reaching. And we want to look into the judgment that does come. Now, today we want to go on to verse 31. This is Numbers 16. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertaineth unto Korah, and all of their goods, they, and all that appertained to them, went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Now, this is the perishing of the gainsaying of Korah. Now, Moses said, if they die the common death, you'll know that God didn't send me. But if these men die an unusual death, if God should cause the ground to cleave asunder and swallow them up, then you're going to know that God called me to this position that I'm in. Well, surely we just read what happened. Now think of this judgment. The ground opened up like an earthquake, just opened up, just like the earth opening right up its mouth. And my, all Korah and all that appertained to him, his family, everything, they just dropped suddenly into the ground. And not only did they fall into the pit, but the ground closed back up upon them. Well, we'd look at all of that and say, boy, that's harsh judgment, isn't it? But then look what they were doing. We'd think it's harsh judgment. We'd think it was hard. But they'd turned the whole congregation of God against Moses. They deserved this kind of judgment. Yes, if they didn't deserve it, God wouldn't have brought it. Someone said, well, I think that's cruel. Well, that's the way the children of Israel thought. They thought that was awful. But yet they didn't stop to realize the weight of what was being done and God making an example. Now, what kind of punishment do you suppose they would be thought worthy in the last day who trample the blood of Jesus under their feet and count the covenant whereby they were sanctified an unholy thing? What worse sin could you commit than to trample under your feet the blood of Jesus Christ? Now, the last day apostate teachers will tread the blood of Jesus underfoot. They're going to count the covenant an unholy thing. Oh, my, they're going to do despite unto the Spirit of grace. Well, this is what we've got to know in our hearts. Now, what about the people that they influence? What about the multitude now who have the itching ears that follow these teachers? Well, surely, now we've got to understand that they're surely judgment prone as well. Now look, I mean, even in law, I mean, you walk down the street with a bank robber, he runs in and robs the bank, and you're keeping company with him, hey, you're going to have a hard time convincing the DA that you weren't in on it. Well, you're with him. Well, what are you doing with him? You see, the mere fact of association is enough in a court of law to get you thrown in jail as an accomplice. Well, what about these people in the last day who have the itching ears, who heap upon themselves teachers now, hordes of apostate teachers who go along with their fleshy program, who go along with their denying, you know, godliness and only having a form of godliness? Well, we recognize now it's surely going to affect a lot of people. Well, one might say now, these leaders here now who brought this violence into the camp of Israel, brought this sedition now, men so presumptuous, so heady, high-minded, self-willed, that they just wanted to intrude right in there and take the kingdom of God. Talk about the violent taking it by force. Well, that's what they were out to do. They were going to take the kingdom of God away from Moses, away from godly leaders. Well, we realize that God wouldn't let it happen. God didn't let it happen. Now, one might say that about the gainsaying of Korah, God brought swift judgment. Oh, this judgment is swift. And when it's carried out with one stroke. My, just as the stroke of your hand. Why, just whoosh, when it's done, the ground opens up and they fall in and, my, the earth closes upon them. Forever buried right there, perished in their gainsaying, perished in their own corruption, perished in their fleshy program, perished in their rising up to cause apostasy in the camp of Israel. Leaders now wanting to take over whom God didn't call nor ordain. Well, we see now God brought swift judgment. And he said he's going to bring swift judgment upon those in the last day, these apostate teachers. Now, here's your example. God gives you this example in the Word, that it will bring swift destruction upon them. Well, when destruction comes, it'll really come. But look at the damage that's done first. And in the last days, when we see the influence that they'll have over the multitude, oh my, we'll realize then why their judgment is spelled out here compared to Korah. Now, I mean, their judgment is compared to him. Their works are compared to him. Well, they're following on as perishing now in the gainsaying of Korah. Well, today we could look on here and see now, surely this was bringing a swift judgment. Well, let's see what it says in verse 34. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. Now, it brought fear into the hearts of others. Boy, we better get on the run. We better get out of here, lest the ground open up and swallow us too. God's way of saying, look, you better get going. You just cannot mingle with them. Now, we stop to think of that. Surely it brought a fear into the camp, but that's not the end of the matter as far as the camp is concerned. All at once, something else happened. And we look now to verse 35, and there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Well, now these 250 were chosen out. Surely they thought they were holy, and they thought they had a right to do this. Hey, this is Aaron's business, offering up incense unto the Lord. This is part of the priesthood. They're no business doing it. Well, they were going to show now that they were going to do it. They were holy. They were able. But surely now we see that the 250 that did it, my, a fire fell from God and destroyed them. Well, today we see that when judgment comes, took care of Korah and his and all that pertained to him, took care of 250 men here now, offering up incense unto the Lord, brought swift judgment upon them. Look, it's God's way of saying, don't intrude into something that's not yours. All today, I tell you, we need to respect spiritual office. We need to respect the officers that God sets in those offices. We need to look and thank God. And if you got a godly pastor, you ought to thank God every day for that man. You got a godly pastor, you ought to thank God every day for that pastor that God has given to you. You ought to thank God. After all, I think there's nothing any more important in this life than to having spiritual leaders who are spiritual, whose purpose is to lead you in the ways of Christ, who's going to lead you in the ways of life everlasting, who exalt Jesus and his shed blood, who exalt that sacrifice at Calvary, and surely exalt that Savior to where in your heart and mind you see Jesus as Lord and Savior, and you submit to him because you're taught by a godly man to love and serve the Lord. Well, today it's so important. Well, look what these ungodly, unscrupulous men following Korah. Look what happened. Now they perished in their gainsaying. What'd they get out of it? God made an example out of them for us to look at in these last days. Father, you quicken. Pour out your Spirit, Lord, upon us today in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. On a broadcast today, I want to continue on with this message about the last day falling away, foretold by the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. And this terrible time of apostasy, which will really lead us right on to the end and the climax of the age. Well, today, we're going to go back and we're going to look a little more into the gainsaying of Korah. We've been in Numbers chapter 16, following along through this chapter as it really deals with gainsaying because, well, the Word has made it clear to us. The Apostle Jude said they'll go the way of Cain. They'll run greedily after the error of Balaam, and they'll perish in the gainsaying of Korah, referring to those false teachers, those last-day apostate teachers who deny the Lord, who will trample underfoot the blood of the covenant, the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, today, As we go on, we want to go to verse 41. Now, I want to bring this point out to you, and I want you to think about it. What about the multitude of what we would say seemingly innocent people who are misled, led astray by the last day apostate teachers? What about innocent people? Now, the scripture said many would follow their pernicious ways, their hurtful ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now, the scripture points out to us that surely, you know, many would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, what about people now that are misled, led astray by? Matthew chapter 24, Jesus listed one right after the other the very conditions that would prevail over the age and over the end of the age. And the one warning that Jesus gave us that should stand out, and it is at the top of his list, is that take heed that no man deceive you. Now, if you're deceived by some last day apostate teacher, I mean you're deceived. No matter how bad he is, no matter how judgment prone he is, it can bring judgment back upon you. Now, many are going to perish with these last day teachers who bring in damnable heresies. Now, the heresy is damnable. If you get the venom of that heresy in you, spiritually it'll bring you right down. Spiritually it'll cause you to lose out with God. They're called damnable heresies, meaning they bring damnation to those that are involved. Well, now there's one way around all of this. We've got to watch and pray. And we've got to follow God. We've got to follow the Word of God. We've got to stay with Jesus. We've got to follow the teaching of Christ. We've got to stand no matter what the multitude does, no matter what changes come about here in the last days, no matter how much men fall away, on the left hand or the right. You've got to stand. Your soul, you've got to keep. Don't look as though someone's going to be the keeper of your soul. You watch. You pray, you be ready under the coming of Jesus. That's his warning unto you. Watch and pray. Be ready. Take heed, no man deceive you. Now, innocent people are going to be deceived. Now, the scripture made it clear these last day teachers would come, but men having itchy ears, heaping unto themselves these teachers, wanting to hear the smooth language, wanting to hear the message that would allow sin to flow freely and allow men to indulge in the flesh without any sign of conviction or, well, as we would say, or anything preached against it. Oh my, it's going to be a form of godliness denying the power thereof. Well, today we're looking now at these innocent people right here in the Bible. Now, they have followed the gainsaying of Korah. Now, they've listened. The whole congregation was drawn by this gainsaying. In verse 19, they gathered together at Korah's request. He brought the whole congregation against Moses. Well, now, Korah swallowed up in the ground, and 250 now who burned incense unto the Lord are burned with fire. And now the congregation is, well, what we would have thought, learned a lesson. But verse 41 said, "But on the morrow the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, Ye have killed the people of the Lord." Now, that's strange, isn't it? Now they come murmuring against Moses and against Aaron. What did these people learn out of this whole ordeal? Someone would say they're gaining any knowledge is zilch, zero. They haven't gained nothing. This didn't seem to open their eyes at all. All they saw was Korah and all that appertained to him going down into the pit. and the ground closing up and saw the fire fall on the 250. But they didn't learn nothing. Brother and sister, do we learn anything? Do we learn? Hey, look, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable to us for doctrine. Well, the Scriptures surely are given, and all things were given for our learning, that we, by learning good examples, by bad examples, that you and I might be thoroughly furnished up unto all knowledge, that we may live pleasing and acceptable to God. Now, these people just went through an experience, and they learned nothing. Now, they followed anybody that seemed to want to lead them astray, might they could follow them gladly, but they didn't learn nothing. They didn't learn anything. Someone said, if you stick your finger in the fire, one thing you're going to learn out of that. You're going to learn to pull it back real fast and not to stick it back again. Now, you think you'd learn that. Well, I mean, you generally do learn that, don't you? I mean, you hit your thumb with a hammer, you pull your thumb back. You don't just leave it there and hit it six or seven more times, do you? Well, you learn by things. These people don't learn. They're not learning anything. Here they are, murmuring, complaining. Moses, you killed the people of God. They never realized, never dawned their hearts that that was the judgment of God. Did Moses take his thumbs on the crust of the earth and peel it apart and let all these people fall in? Did Moses do that, or did God do that? They're blaming Moses. My, when the fire fell, I mean, what did Moses kindle a fire in the heavens and it fell upon these who went out here burning incense, intruding into the priest's office, men who didn't belong there? Well, we realize that if we don't learn something from it, we're no better than they. Now, you ought to learn from this that there's some things you can't do, and if you do do it, it's going to cause judgment to come back. Now, I don't care whether you're under the law or whether you're under grace. I mean, what you sow is what you're going to reap. If you sow under the flesh, you're going to of the flesh reap corruption. If you sow under the Spirit, you're going to of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Well, what we sow, if we sow bountifully, we'll reap bountifully. If we sow sparingly, we'll reap sparingly. What you sow, you reap, whether good or whether evil. Now, one would think that what they had sowed, my being patsy to or kin to Korah, Dathan, Abiram, in their going against Moses, now it seemed to fit in their hearts because that's what they're so prone to do, go against their leaders. Now, Moses said to the children of Israel, by this you'll know that God called me, if the ground opens up and swallows these men up alive. Then you'll know. Well, do they know that? No, they don't know that, though they saw it with their eyes. Now they've seen it, and yet they don't believe it. They don't accept it. It don't mean nothing to them. Well, I mean, someone said, how hard can you be? Well, I mean, how hard can you be? Well, bless God, you can be as hard as flint. You just can be without understanding. And look at that in them now. They saw what Moses said, and yet it still didn't register that these ungodly men had vexed the Holy Spirit. They had grieved the Spirit of God until judgment fell. My, I mean, one would think that they would have understood. But they seemed so naive and so lacking in understanding. Now, I think there's an example here that you and I have got to consider, that in the last days, when hordes of apostate teachers begin to emerge, people are going to be drawn, just like the children of Israel were drawn unto Korah. They're going to be drawn, and Korah was able to draw all of them together and turn them against godly leaders. I mean, that's the persuasiveness of the wrong way. My, we have stopped and realized now the way of truth, evil spoken of. By whom, reason of whom, the way of truth is evil spoken of. Now, I want you to understand Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and 250 princes, men of renown in the congregation. Well, these are not just little nobodies in Israel. My, they were famous people, and they had a persuasiveness. and men were listening to them, but they weren't wanting to listen to God and to godly leaders. Now, where's it leading them? Well, it led them to murmur and complain some more and say to Moses and Aaron, "You killed the people of the Lord." And now they're upset at Moses again. Now they're upset in that respect. Well, I mean, someone would say, wouldn't you learn after a while? Brother and sister, innocent people, victimized. Yes, innocent people. Now, made worse by this man, though he's perished. My, the venom is still in them. How is all that going to be exacted out of their soul? Father, you quicken this word today and make it real in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. On a broadcast today, I want to continue on with this message about the gainsaying of Korah, taken from Numbers chapter 16. Part of a long, lengthy message here about this last day falling away. Hordes of apostate teachers about to emerge in the world. And God foretelling us to get prepared for this onslaught of teachers who will come denying the Lord, who will come surely with teaching that's totally after the flesh, a form of godliness like you've never seen. Well, today, we want to go on and look on a little more here in this lesson we learned. Remember how we've been looking at Jude 11, and Jude saying about these apostate teachers, they would be like Cain. They'd go the way of Cain. They'd run greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perish in the gainsaying of Korah, telling us then that they would be like these three men all put together in one. Well, today, we want to go back here again to Numbers chapter 16, verse 41, where we were yesterday. Now, I talked about the innocent people who are going to get hurt by this multitude of last-day apostate teachers who will come. They're going to lead a multitude to fall away from God. Now, the multitude, many innocent people, all the way like sheep going astray, worse than going astray, led astray, led by a deceiver. Now, to go astray and led away from the Lord. Well, what really would come? Well, this scripture tells us then that on the morrow, the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "You've killed the people of the Lord." Now, they no sooner came against Moses and came against Aaron. Now, it's the congregation. Now, all these others have perished. Now, the congregation, they've come right out against them. "Hey, you've killed the people of the Lord." And boy, they're against them. And about that time, they looked toward the tabernacle, and that glory cloud now came right down over the tabernacle. The presence of God drew near. Now, I think that's something for us to consider. You know, here's a congregation now murmuring against their godly leaders, and we see God is rising right up to their defense, and surely we can see the end product of their way. Now, it's bound to hurt innocent people. It's bound to bring a lot of people into a place they'll wish later they would never have got involved in. Well, let's look on, verse 44. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell on their faces." Oh, my. Now, there's that deep attitude. Now, you see, we fail under grace to look back at the examples. Now, someone would say, God will never bring judgment. God would never correct in a harsh manner. God this and God that. Brother and sister, these scriptures are for our learning. Last day apostate teachers will perish in the gainsaying of Korah. What will happen to their followers? Well, here we can see. Now, God said he'd destroy this congregation in a moment. Moses and Aaron fell on their faces to make intercession. They knew the wrath of God had come into the camp. They knew that this crowd, because of their murmuring and because of their complaining and because of their action in following Korah, surely now they knew that judgment was coming. Now they knew it. Well, Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire thereupon off the altar, and put on it incense, and go out quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. Oh my. It's too late, somebody said. No, it's not too late. You better move fast, or it will be too late. That's the thing that's illustrated here. Now, God said, I'll destroy him in a moment. Moses, being a meek man, a humble man, a godly man, a man with power with God, interceded for these people who were rebelling against God by rebelling against him. Well, now, Moses realized the plague had already begun. He realized wrath had already begun to fall. On who? On innocent people? Well, they are innocent in a way. Surely they're being hurt by what Korah, Dathan, Abiram, 250 prince men of renown, what they'd done. Now, as you see, they'd followed the wrong crowd, and they're judgment prone now. Judgment now. The whiplash is coming back on them. My, they should have left good enough alone. They should have really repented and really made it right with God. But my, they just seemed to go right on blindly naive of what they were doing and blamed Moses. Well, you've killed the people of the Lord. Look at all that. What does it add up to you? Well, it's all part of what Jude meant when he said men would perish in the gainsaying of Korah. Well, all we need to do is look on just a little bit farther. Now, Aaron did as Moses commanded him in verse 47. He took the incense. He went out to make an atonement for the people. And verse 48 said, and he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stopped. What if there was no Aaron? What if there was no Moses to stand? Brother and sister, you ought to appreciate godly leaders who stand between you and God in the respect of prayer and intercession. Now, I'm not trying to say there's other mediators between man and God. The Scripture said there's one, O-N-E, one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. But we as godly leaders stand between men and God in the respect of intercession. We pray, we seek, we're God appointed, therefore God hears us. God's response is responding to the cry. Moses, Aaron have cried unto the Lord. They've made an atonement. They stopped a plague. But my lands, did they get it stopped in time? Surely nobody got hurt. Surely nobody suffered as a result of this plague. Oh, surely. I mean, brother and sister, let's not be naive. I want you to understand. Now, don't be naive. You know, we are naive in so many things. But don't be naive about these last day apostate teachers and the terrible judgment that will fall upon a multitude for what they do. Hordes of teachers that will cause multitudes to perish. That's what we've got to consider. Well, they stood between the living and the dead and stayed the plague. Now, what does verse 49 say? Now, they that died in the plague were 14,700, besides them that died about the matter of Korah. Well, my lands, think about it. Hey, here's a congregation now murmuring, you kill the people of the Lord. And by criticizing, by opposition now against godly leaders, by their bad ways, my 14,000, nearly 15,000 people died that day in that plague. Wow, someone said, that's awful. It is awful. And I want you to know how awful it is when we get involved in gainsaying. Don't you ever stand in the way with evil men who want to overthrow a godly leader. Don't you ever let the blood be upon your hand of a godly pastor put out because somebody didn't want them. Oh my, don't ever be part of touching God's anointed. Don't you ever be guilty. Look, silence is bliss sometimes. Silence. Don't you join the critical crowd. Don't you take a hatchet with the critical crowd. Don't you have roast preacher for dinner every Sunday. Don't you get yourself involved in condemnation and judging and condemning godly leaders. Don't be a part of that. My, we don't want any part of that. These here surely now, murmuring against Moses and Aaron, their own godly leaders. Someone who said, why didn't they wise up? Why didn't they see? Did they see the Red Sea opened? Did they see a wall of water on the left hand and on the right? And did they see Pharaoh drowned in that sea when they came across? Did they see that? Oh my, no, they didn't see it. They didn't see it. Why, that was enough to tell me, my land, how great God was and how much God was with them. Did they eat angel food out there? Did they have bread fall from heaven and quail till it stuck out their nostrils out there in the desert? Did they get water out of the rock? I mean, we would look at miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, and yet they didn't see it. What's that? They didn't see it. They were blind to these things. They never seemed to realize the wrong of their doing. They never seemed to want to repent and make things right. Oh, what a congregation. Somebody said how hard their heads really were. Oh, my. Hard-headed. Just couldn't have an ounce of faith. Just couldn't believe God out there in that wilderness. Well, today, we see that the gainsaying of Korah cost not only Korah, Dathan, Abiram, the 250 princes, but it cost this congregation a lot of lives, 14,700 lives. My, a lot of people perished over that, didn't they? Father, quicken this word into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. And on the broadcast today, I want to continue on with this message here of this last day falling away. God's message to warn us of the coming of a flood tide of teachers, apostate teachers that will cause this great falling away. Well, today marks the end of 4 weeks of dealing with verse 11 here in the book of Jude. Woe unto them, for they've gone the way of Cain, run greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and are perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Now, after hearing this, you that have been following the broadcast from going all the way back to Genesis, following right on down through, dealing with Cain and Numbers, chapter 23, dealing with Balaam, going right on down to number 16, dealing with Korah. Now, we've gone the gamut of looking at the lives of these men. Now, I want you to picture with me, in your mind if you can, and you try to size up what a man would be like if he was like Cain, and on top of that, he was like Balaam, and then on top of that, he was like Korah. All three merged into one person. Now, think in your mind what a person would be like. Gone the way of Cain. No blood, no atonement for sin, rejecting an acceptable offering for sin, going the way of Balaam, money the object, greedily running after the heir of Balaam for reward, prestige, honor, all he could get, and both pockets stuffed. Well, and then going the way of Korah, intrusion into the priest office, intrusion surely into more than that, and trying to put godly leaders down, causing a rebellion, causing sedition in the camp of Israel, turning everybody against Moses and against Aaron. Now, try to picture in your mind what one person would be like if he was like all three. Now, I'm asking you because I want you to think, if you can, what a person like that would really be like. Now, I'd like to tell you, from a biblical point of view, what he'd be like. I can sum him all up in one, and here in a sense now is what this man would really be. Well, what are you thinking? What's on your mind? I mean, what's he going to be like? Well, I think Peter said it quite well in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. But these as natural brute beast made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Now, doesn't that kind of fit it all together? They're going to be like as a natural brute beast. Now, I talked to you previously about a natural brute beast. We think of the lion. Did you ever think a lion had come up and ask permission to do you in? I mean, he's going to tear in and do his thing. I mean, he's hungry and he doesn't care who he eats or what he eats. He's hungry. That's it. Well, we best recognize God likens these men now as natural brute beast. I mean, that's just what we would have to say. Yet, brother and sister, those are God's viewpoints. Nobody's seen them yet. They're not here yet. Maybe some are here. Their teaching is beginning to come to light, but wait till they come. And God is telling us what they will be like. And from the Bible, we see God's view. Now, when they do come, and we see it from our viewpoint, God said they're like natural brute beasts, but men will be looking and say, boy, isn't this one? That's the best teaching I ever heard. Oh, they'll just be, well, I mean, that's the way it'll be. Men will say, this is what I've been waiting to hear. Someone who is not against everything I do. And they'll utterly perish in their own corruption. What about those that follow them? Now today, we've got to give ear to this. This 11th verse in the book of Jude reflects three different spirits. Three different mannerism of men. Three different concepts, you know, of the heart now. And then we have all this mixed together and we have one. Now, look at what he goes on to say. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Uh-oh, boy, I'm not interested in this a bit. These are spots in our feast of love? These are spots? Don't listen to them. Surely there'll be spots. Spots and blemishes, we need none. Christ is coming for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, I mean, these won't seem like the kind of people we'd want to isolate from. And I want you to remember, they'll be hanging around the crowd. And you may go to their meetings. Oh, and you may listen to what they have to say. And you may eat it right up. Oh my, that's the danger of this. Subtle, damnable heresies, form of godliness, denying the power thereof, reprobate concerning the truth, err from the truth, men who resist the truth, men who have no love for the truth. That's what they're like. That's God's viewpoint. But they're cunningly devised fables. Men will just be like the children of Israel. They won't learn. It'll be too late when they find out that they've been brought down by those damnable heresies. Well, feeding themselves without fear. Now, the scripture goes on to say they're clouds. Clouds they are without water, carried about of the wind. Now, you know what clouds are without water. A cloud without water is like a Christian without the Spirit of God. He's nothing. He's just empty. He doesn't have anything real or genuine. So when a Christian is not born of the Spirit, he's like a cloud without any water. Looks like a real thing, but it's empty. And a person who says he's a Christian without being born of the Spirit is empty. How much more a Christian now being filled with the Spirit? My, a cloud full of water, ready to rain out of your belly, shall flow rivers of living water. My, that's a beautiful promise. But it's promised unto those that walk after the Spirit. Jesus said, my, if we thirst to come, and he'd give us to drink. And like he told that woman at the well, he'll give us water and it'll well up in us, springing up to everlasting life. And promised the Spirit unto those that would drink, those that would believe. And he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, we need this, don't we? Oh, yes. Well, these won't have it. Now, as a comparison, my, look at verse 19. These are they who separate themselves sensually, that is, fleshy, not having the Spirit. Well, my, Spirit spelt with a capital S, Holy Spirit. Not having the Spirit of God. They'll separate themselves in a sense of following. Oh, yeah, they're going to follow God, but they ain't going to want much to do with Jesus. My, we'll have to bear this up with these apostates. Surely that's the way they'll be. Separating themselves sensually. Perish in their own fleshy corruption. Not having the Spirit. Thank God today for the Spirit of God. It said, whose? Let's go back to verse 12 now. Right in the middle of the verse, it said, carried about of wind, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the root. My, that says a lot if you stop and try to figure it out. Now, trees whose fruit withereth, dried up. Now, they had some fruit, but now it's dried up. All right, without fruit. Now, there is no fruit on the tree. What there was is dried up. Now, twice dead. My, they had the way of the Lord, but they forsook it. They went back, deny the Lord. That's what Peter was so strong to tell us when Peter wrote to us and Jude wrote to us of these men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, even denying the Lord that brought them. My, I think this is absolutely terrible, but, well, plucked up by the roots. Now we look, perish in the gainsaying of Korah. Oh, brother and sister, let's get a hold of God. Let's really walk with God. Let's not be fooled by all that that's coming. Ma, I've gone down this road a long ways to forewarn you of this coming apostasy, of this coming falling away, of this great rejection of Jesus here at the end of the age. And I want you to hear. I want you to think about it. I want you to pray about it. I want you to be concerned. An enlightened Christian surely is a Christian who will stand against such things, and knowing in advance their coming is a blessing to you. Father, I pray that you'd quicken this word, making it real and alive in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.